The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you would like to be a part of the show. In previous episodes of The Force Field, we've discovered the nuts and bolts about starting a tech business from the business side. You've planned your business model, you've named it, filed for the necessary local and state business licenses, and hung out your shingle, so to speak. You are now officially in business. But how do you get the word out? How do you let everyone know you are here and open for business? One of the greatest challenges of starting and running a tech business, or any business, is not the initial setup or the organization of your business model. It's getting the word out that your business even exists. Marketing and advertising has always been one of the most, if not the most, critical and important part of starting and running a business. It is also, perhaps, the most time-consuming and expensive part of business operations. Traditionally, marketing involves a lot of research and a thorough understanding of your market and who your potential customer is, who your competitors are, and how your business can best fit the needs and wants of the marketplace. It involves the creation and development of a brand, building brand awareness in a positive way to attract potential customers, and a constant effort to keep those customers and build brand loyalty. Marketing involves establishing relationships with potential customers and maintaining those relationships for the long term. Today we're going to talk with an IT service provider who created a unique brand for her business, learn how she did it, and how the techniques and tools she used to market her services made her business successful. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. CompTIA Breakaway 2010, billed as North America's premier event for the IT channel, will be held August 9th through 12th, 2010 in San Antonio, Texas. Admission is free to CompTIA members and $250 for non-members. For more information, contact CompTIA at www.comptia.org. OnForce announced the appointment of Bill Lucchini as Chief Operating Officer of the company. In a press release June 23rd, the Boston-based National Service Platform said Lucchini, a former Intuit executive, will be responsible for the development, product, and marketing organizations and focus on aligning strategic goals with operational activities. A couple of weeks ago, someone started a discussion in a tech forum asking this question: what is the best remote support application? Of course, everyone suggested their personal favorites, and there were several mentioned, all good and capable applications. One of the most frequent responses? Go to Assist Express, the remote support application from Citrix. Why? Respondents said they like Go to Assist Express for its ease of use and its powerful features, including the ability to log into a customer's PC unattended. But don't take their word for it, or mine either. Try it yourself, free, for 30 days. For this special offer, visit gotoassist.com/techpodcast. That's gotoassist.com/techpodcast. Get the free trial, try it yourself, and let me know what you think. And work smarter with GoToAssist Express. The Summer of Podcasts 2 is underway at podcastmadness.com. This is an interactive contest with a chance to win great prizes. To enter, go to www.podcastmadness.com, read the rules and regulations, listen to the podcasts, and enter the code that you hear in each podcast in the form on the page. Each show has a different code, which means the more podcasts you listen to, the more chances you have to win. The drawings will be held throughout the summer in June, July, and August 2010, and a new code will be given out on the Force Field podcast for each contest. In fact, I'm going to give you a chance to win the June contest right now. Listen to this episode of the Force Field and enter the code GREEN, that's G-R-E-E-N, at podcastmadness.com by June 30th, 2010, for your chance to win. Other participating podcasts include Moxie Mo Show, PCR Tech News, Photo Walkthrough, SDR News, Sports Unleashed, Tech Talk Svenska, Technorama, and the Caffeination Podcast. Also, when you enter the code, you can vote for the best produced podcast. The Force Field Podcast is on the list. Listen to the Force Field and win in the Summer of Podcasts contest. And finally, Microsoft announced it has sold 150 million copies of Windows 7 since its launch in October 2009. According to an entry on Microsoft's Windows Team blog by Brandon LeBlanc, May 23rd, Microsoft sold 150 million Windows 7 licenses to date, or 7 copies of Windows 7 per second. LeBlanc said this makes Windows 7 the fastest-selling operating system in history. While this doesn't completely make up for the dismal performance of Windows Vista, it does redeem Microsoft somewhat. Vista was rushed to market well before it was ready, and it showed. In contrast, Windows 7 is more mature, more polished, and what Vista should have been, but wasn't. Will Windows 7 undo the last 3 years of Vista? Not likely. The damage to Microsoft's reputation has already been done. Whether or not Windows 7 will reclaim users who jumped ship when Vista was launched for alternatives such as Mac OS X and Linux remains to be seen, and, in my opinion, doubtful. However, while the company may have been adrift and listing, the ship hasn't quite sunk. Microsoft still has plenty of wind in its sails, so to speak, and Windows 7 is a chance for the company to patch the leaks in its hull and correct course. But can they do it in time? The Google storm is fast approaching, and the dark cloud of internet-based applications now claims the light which once shone down upon Microsoft in their golden days of domination in the sea of PC productivity. Will they turn the ship around in time to navigate the cloud? Or will they wait until it descends upon them, capsizes them, and leaves them in Google's wake? Because if they don't act in time, even with Windows 7 as an anchor, they could wind up shipwrecked on Balmer's Island. We'll find out as we continue the adventures of the SS Microsoft. I love metaphors. And that's the news in the Force Field. I am very particular about what goes in the Force Field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the Force Field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out, and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field. And this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698. Or through Skype at Savoia Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. Traditionally, marketing a business requires a huge financial investment in advertisements. Signs, banners, and flyers are cheap compared to the costs of newspaper, magazine, radio, and TV ads. The print yellow pages, direct mail, and other local venues may target your area, but not necessarily your customer. Yet it can eat into your advertising budget quickly. In the past, many small startups and small established businesses could not afford to mass market the products and services in the larger venues known as the mainstream media, and to do so was always a very risky proposition. However, all that is changing for the small business owner. The internet has leveled the playing field. Newer venues such as social networks and new media now allow small business to mass market their products and services and compete directly with the big guys, and at a very low cost. Some small business owners utilize these venues with great success, but many have yet to even try. Why? One reason may be that they simply don't understand them. While these new marketing venues and tools are now available to anyone, not everyone instinctively knows how to use them to their greatest advantage. Remember, the right tool for the right job. Before you can use any tool, you must first know and understand when and how to use it in order to use it most effectively. Lisa Hendrickson knows how to use these tools well. Lisa owns and operates Call That Girl, a computer repair and support service located in Minnesota. Although she has only been in business 3 years, Lisa quickly established herself as a reputable and respected professional in her community, and her business is booming. Today we're going to talk with Lisa, hear how she got into the industry, learn how she created a unique brand for her business, and find out how she used social networking and something she calls Lisa Marketing to successfully build her brand and her business, as we begin with part one of her two-part story. Call That Girl, a marketing success story. And we're talking to Lisa. Lisa, welcome to the Force Field.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
First of all, Lisa, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Well, myself, I guess I have a computer repair shop based out of Minneapolis. I've been full-time on my own since August 2007, and we offer shop support on-site at people's homes, and we do telephone support, which is probably our biggest moneymaker right now is the remote support.
And how long have you been doing this?
Well, I'm starting into my third year right now, so I'm finally at that point where it's, for the past year, I've been pretty busy, so I'm starting to expand out a little bit with getting on some staff.
What got you into the computer business?
Well, I kind of tell the story is, back in 1995, I had a friend that was telling me to get on the computer and do email, and I said, why? Why do I need to email you when I call you? And he was like, oh, it's just really cool, and the internet's cool. And the only thing I'd really known about with the internet at that point was AOL chat, and, that was fun, I guess. So I did take his advice, and I went to college, and I decided to get email. And going into the computer lab, I found I just really liked hanging out in there. I started playing with the internet, and I started my career back on VAX and the AS400s, doing email the old school way, I guess. And as I spent about a year there in the lab, I told the lab attendant manager, he better hire me because I was starting to help everybody for free all the time. And that's where the career started. I started doing software support in the computer lab for about 3 years. And I went into the corporate world for about 7 years. So, and then I went on my own. I'm a software support specialist pretty much.
Ah, okay. Do you do some hardware repair as well? Or it's mostly software?
Minor. Yeah, minor. I do like memory installs and, you know, that's pretty much it. I don't mess with hardware at all. I have a referring company I use if need be.
So you outsource some of it?
Yeah, I outsource. Most other computer repair techs are like, why don't you do hardware? And I say, because I guess I don't get the calls for them. When people are researching for me, you know, they're looking for software repair.
Now, I saw your website, and I was very impressed with it. And noticed that you have a complete theme built around, looks like it's pretty much built around the old That Girl TV series, which... that kind of dates me since I remember that when I was a kid. Even down to the fonts and some of the thematics used on the site. Was that your own creation? Is that what you came up with to brand your business?
Yes, in a way. About 6 years ago, well, in 2004, I met up with a girl from Philadelphia that did logo design, and I decided to officially start my business back when I worked at the Mayo Clinic. I was doing physician support at their homes, and I decided to become an official business. And I, at that point, had black hair and black glasses. Mm-hmm. So she created the logo, and the old logo had a really old school monitor in the background, okay. And she built it black and white, and it said, I do house calls, which was really cute to go along with the doctor support. So she's got a facelift in the last few years. Now she's got the same face, but a modern flat panel with a city in the background. So kind of has a fresh approach.
So you look like Marlo Thomas. You know, you're sort of the Marlo Thomas of IT then, right?
Not anymore. Now I have long blonde hair.
Oh.
But that girl is not going to have long blonde hair, no. No. But, you know, I think the whole approach for my logo was to look like a happy computer girl, you know, that most computer repair companies have really hard-looking logos, and I'm a software support, so I wanted her to look really friendly and happy, and so it's really worked for me. My logo is definitely one that stands out and is recognized.
Mm-hmm. And it helps, too, that you're a woman-owned business. You have a unique angle to marketing the business as well, being a woman, because there's some things that you can explore in terms of marketing that, you know, some businesses run by guys can't necessarily use, I should say.
Yeah. I think when I got started, you know, I had a lot of people tell me, well, you need to go hit the women's networking groups. So basically, when I first got started, I came from a corporate help desk environment. I've never ran a business. I don't even know how to do it. So when I first got started, I had no clients, and I had every day free. So I Googled, I didn't even know what networking was at the time, networking events. And so I started Googling, and I found tons of events online that were free to attend. Some of them were $20 or $30 for lunch, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had all my business cards made up, and I just started hitting all of these events with nothing else to do. That was just part of my business at that time. And, you know, there's a few women-owned groups that really paid off for me that men, they could join, but they just don't. And one of them paid off really well for me in the beginning, but now it hasn't so much, so I dropped out of that group. But networking is probably one of the biggest ways that I've gotten clients, and it's not just from going to the networking events. It's passing out the cards and telling people what you do and trying to meet 20 to 50 people in one shot, which is kind of hard, but, you know, do your best to get your card out to as many people as you can.
Have you found the marketing campaign that you have here is Call That Girl with the website. Have you found that to be really beneficial to the business in general? Have you seen any upticks in business due to that type of marketing?
Sure. You know, my first 2 years I was out, I had a static website that never changed, and it was just your basic, you know, here's what we do, here's our services and prices. And then I decided to move towards a blog website, because I wanted to start blogging more. And here was the time when I knew I had to do it. I had a blog with my website. They were separate. And my blog was getting more hits than my website.
Mm.
And I didn't even advertise the blog. So it's kind of like one of those things that when people start finding fun blogs, they come back and check them. No one was coming back to my website because it didn't change. It was static. So my web designer incorporated my blog with my website into what's called a WordPress theme.
Yeah.
And he did all the back-end work, and now I get to go in and make the small changes, which is what I wanted, some more control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have probably about 140 blogs now, which are all, of course, searchable with search engines. And I can put up different graphics every day. I can, you know, I really can play with it a little bit more and have more fun with it. And right now I'm probably averaging about 150 web hits a day.
Mm.
It's due to the blog, you know, from people searching stuff and they find the blog online.
So you have all these blogs. How much time do you generally invest in a day in maintaining the blogs?
Not very much. I'm really fast with them because I'm kind of a writer, talker type person. So many days I don't even know I'm going to blog. I just am like, oh, there's a good idea. I'm going to go blog it. And then it's out there, you know. And sometimes I have to go back and edit because I made it too quickly. But I definitely do not put, you know, like, oh, I'm going to blog tomorrow about this. And sometimes I do when I know something's going to happen, like in the future. But my most successful blog to this date is my Comcast users should not install Symantec or Norton. That picked up a lot of steam out there on the internet, and I've got 20-some comments now from that. And I'm number one, like, on the Google page for Comcast, Norton Slow, Comcast drops McAfee. And that was just a blog I decided to throw out there after I was so frustrated with Norton and the product. So,
and apparently you're not the only one.
Oh, no. And you know what? I'm getting a lot of web hits from that, and it's really impressive because it's from all around the world. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that's the people, I think, what the whole blog website thing is, it makes them feel like they're part of a community almost.
Mm-hmm.
The blog, I'm not saying it's bringing in a lot of money, but it's definitely giving me one of those marketing things that you need to be seen seven times. Well, people are coming to your blog, that's one of the seven to be remembered.
Yeah, it's more of an indirect benefit rather than a direct one because it's really more generating interest and leads in what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I think the whole point of my marketing that's worked is value and trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have seen me, they've heard about me, and especially locally here in Minneapolis, most of my clients that are calling me are like, I've seen you around everywhere. Well, because I'm trying to be everywhere without the appearance of being everywhere. And if people make it to my website, that's just another thing that they read the blogs and I'm talking to them. And they're learning, and I'm writing the blogs in a manner that's not too technical. That's the trick of it all.
Yeah.
Is I've read some other repair tech's blogs, and I'm like, oh, some of my clients would be scared off right away. You know, you have to explain it in regular person terms, I guess. So.
Yeah, this is true. Well, speaking of seeing you around town, one marketing campaign that really interested me that I saw on your site was something called Spot That Girl. And as I understand it, the way it works, if someone driving around spots your van on the road, you give them 30 minutes of free support. How does that work?
Well, you know what's funny is I've had a few people that have seen the website, and then they see me, and then they either, most of them have iPhones, so they go right to my website, and then they click on it and tell me where they saw me. The last lady was at Trader Joe's, and I had the email before she was out of the parking lot. She wanted that 30 minutes.
No doubt. Has Spot That Girl worked well for you? Is it a good return on your investment overall in terms of new sales or leads?
No. It's just one of the marketing campaigns I do, though. I mean, the thing is I probably have about 100 active campaigns out there of little things I'm doing that make it all turn into one big, you know, thing, I guess. Spot That Girl hasn't generated a lot of money, you know, but the truck itself has made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapping your truck was huge for me. I drive all around the Twin Cities area. So when I'm out driving around, I've got right on the back of my truck computer problems with my website and my phone number.
You're driving around a huge billboard is what you're doing.
That's right.
That's always a great marketing tool right there. Now, I also notice you've been somewhat of an inspiration to other techs who are trying to start and market their businesses. And in fact, I notice you're quite popular in the Technible forums. Do you get a lot of calls from peers looking for advice there?
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, I did not expect all that when I joined Technible. When I found Technible, I was like, wow, this is where I need to be. I love this website. And I did, I joined the group. I did an introduction, and once I earned my way into the group, I started, you know, reading their marketing and advertising forums, posts, and I started giving feedback. And you know what, that's because I actually know this stuff pretty well. You know, I don't know hardware, but I know marketing and business strategies. And I put out this list. It's called What I Have Done to Market My Business in the marketing area. And after that, I think that's where it started. The popularity started growing a little bit because I've done a lot of stuff. Lots of stuff.
Are there any specific things that they ask you about most often, something that becomes a reoccurring theme?
Well, I think a lot of people on TechNibble are interested in LinkedIn. LinkedIn is one of the social media websites for networking. And I've been actually posting in there my tips and tricks of how to market in LinkedIn. And it doesn't appear that a lot of people are following the instructions and doing it because they're not replying back to my posts, but I'm getting a lot of views. Mm-hmm. So the views mean people are reading it. I haven't really got much feedback on people following what I've, you know, instructed them on how I got it to work. I'm probably almost at 200 clients now from LinkedIn. And
wow.
For a free source, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's great exposure,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I also noticed that you use social media venues such as Facebook and Twitter. And the Force Field is also on both Facebook and Twitter, and as well as LinkedIn.
Okay.
And they do help build awareness of both the show and the site. However, there are mixed reviews from a lot of techs in the field about using social media in general to market their businesses. And I found that, you know, talking to a lot of other techs, that they either like it or they hate it. Where do you stand on the use of social media as a marketing tool in general, and how has it worked for you?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'll start saying that there's a few computer repair techs out there that are not into the business side of it. They just want to repair. Those are probably the people that are like, nah, it ain't going to work for me. Well, you know, if you review my marketing list, you'll see that a lot of things aren't going to work for some people because it's not in their personality. You know, mine is a social. I have a personality that fits social media quite well. So, you know, that works for me, no question. LinkedIn is something I found about 3 years ago, and once I went on my own, I started adding in people's business cards from my networking events, and then it started dawning on me. I was like, these are all potential clients, and I started working it, and it took me about a year to a year and a half to get really involved in it to start seeing the clients come in. Once they did, I've got tons of them every week now. But I also have done a lot of things with LinkedIn that the average person will never probably do. When it comes to Facebook, I've had maybe 8 calls from Facebook, and those are all people I went to high school with. You know how Facebook is. You invite your entire life into it, and you know you have to be consistent. I actually probably post on my Facebook wall twice a week about computer repair things to worry about or watch for. I send them links to my blog. I'll go blog, and then I put up on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. You know, I do all that. And that's kind of like the point of social media is, you know, you have one central place where everybody can go, and then you go tell the world to go there.
Well, it's part of viral marketing, you know, getting the word out, getting it spread out overall. On some of these venues, people will say, for instance, on Twitter, you know, if they find it's an interesting item, they'll retweet it to others who may retweet it to others. And then it spreads, and it's basically another form of word of mouth. It's just an electronic form of word of mouth as opposed to an actual physical verbal word of mouth out on the street. But it's essentially the same thing.
Well, yeah, I think the whole point of like retweeting stuff, you know, people want, if you give out a good blog and you put it up on Twitter and people want to share that, that's great. But you know what? I mean, I can tell you honestly that I thought I wrote up some of the best blogs in the world and sent it out there to the world, and I got nothing. You know, I mean, I'm a marketing person that is like, That failed. Well, what I learned from that. That worked. I didn't even try. I didn't even mean for that to work. You know?
So sometimes you just don't really know for sure what's going to work and what's not until you just throw it out there.
That's right. Really. And some of the things I've done have been just unbelievable, you know, and I think I have a top five list of all my marketing things that have worked. And the first one is, the first one's LinkedIn. Second one is called Lisa Marketing. I, for 2.5 years, have been giving my card out to practically every person I meet. And I'm not shy about it. I give out my cards at the hair salons, you know, at the post office. I had one of my clients ran me down to get my card after he saw my truck because he wasn't a fan of a big box company, and I try just to give out the card any place I can. I leave them everywhere too. So that's Lisa Marketing is on the top of the list for sure. And then another thing I've done is speaking engagements. I call them speaking.
Oh, really?
Oh, I've spoke to probably 50 groups about computer safety, LinkedIn, social media. You know, you have to be kind of a knowledgeable expert level on a topic to get asked to come speak.
Sure.
And, you know, I speak to groups that are range of 10 people to 80. I'm doing one next week for the Minnesota Marketing Association.
Now, how do you arrange that?
They called and asked me.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how. I'm not even a marketing-like person, and I'm going to speak to the marketing group, so that means I got something. You know, they want to hear about networking outside the norm, I guess. So, networking equals money. That's why you do it.
And how do they generally find you to ask you? Is that through your blogs or through passing out your business cards, social media networking venues?
I think they told me that they were looking for someone to come speak about networking outside the norm. Mm-hmm. And someone had mentioned my name, that I'm really good at networking. So.
Oh.
You know, and a lot of repair techs, I can tell you, they don't network.
No.
I read it on Technible. They don't know what networking is, and that's really been a big part of my business. The networking groups I've gone to the events, I pass out the cards, you know, I met the people, you know, you meet prime contacts, you know, and I'm actually a residential repair. I don't even do commercial, like, for the most part. So the thing is, you go to a networking event, and there's 50 people in there that work in the corporate world, well, they all have home computers.
Yeah, and, you know, techs, they're very familiar with PC networking, hardware networking in a corporate environment, but not social networking, which is really what we're talking about here. Two different things, but they're both just as important for your business.
Yeah,
and that's what it is. It's another form of getting yourself noticed, reinforcing your brand or brand awareness of your business.
Yep.
You know, and to be honest, people aren't going to find you in the phone book anymore, really, because phone books aren't really used like they used to be.
I just had a lady in here today that I totally was like, no, I'm not going to advertise in the Yellow Pages. And she kept going, well, the value, and no. I was like, you know what? No, I already tried it 2 years ago. I didn't make my money back. Why would I do something that didn't make my money?
And that's a whole other topic we're going to cover in another episode of The Force Field, just that the whole aspect of using the telephone book or not using it, because that's one that has traditionally been a popular method of advertising for techs, and one that they've relied on quite a bit in many areas, but it's just really not what it used to be. But
you know what, Rick? None of the advertising I did paid off. None. And it's in my marketing list of things I did. I put ads in certain newspapers, this, that, and the other thing. None of it paid off for me. Zero. Mm. Zero. Well, I mean, I had a little bit of money, but you know what? When it comes down to me wanting to do something else, I track it and see how much money I made off it, and I'm like, didn't make the money back. I ain't doing it. I don't care.
The radio and the print advertising and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's what you're referring to.
Know,
yeah.
What was nice was I was featured on TV 3 weeks ago. I had an impromptu interview about malware. The guy found me on Twitter. He tweeted about a computer repair business in Minneapolis owned by a woman. His followers went and found it. He called me like within 5 minutes and was here in my office in 10 minutes and had the interview done. Whole thing was 35 minutes. And I was on the 10 o'clock news.
Wow. That's where a lot of people are getting their news from these days, is actually from venues like Twitter.
Yeah. I don't follow the Twitter stuff so much, though. It's I don't have time to sit and read the logs and the tweets and stuff. So, and I haven't made any clients off Twitter, but then, look, I got the TV show from it, or the TV, you know, interview. So with that now, I guess I can call that a, you know, a success.
It's indirect.
A lot of clients. Yeah. Yep, but he found me there, so it wasn't me doing the work. So that's kind of the opposite, I guess.
In our next episode, we'll continue our discussion with Lisa and learn more about her marketing techniques. We'll talk about the big seven marketing tools she uses, discuss a common networking trap to avoid, and how social networking can help establish you as an expert in your field, as we conclude with part two of her two-part story, Call That Girl, a Marketing Success Story. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoya Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoya Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoya. May The Force Field be with you.